Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Brendan Fisher, a law fellow with the Center for Media and Democracy, who have recently made public a data dump from the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, detailing over 800 model bills that have been used for regressive legislation, such as the Stand Your Ground law. You may find them at alecexposed.org. Welcome to Background Briefing, Brendan Fisher.
Thank you for having me.
And your group, the Center for Media and Democracy, have been at the forefront in exposing ALEC. And the more we learn about what happened down in Florida recently and the law that's involved in protecting the person who killed the young man, the more people, I think, are starting to wake up. There was a very good piece by Nobel economist Paul Krugman the other day in his New York Times column praising your center for bringing this information forth. I mean, it's difficult to know where to begin because ALEC is so ubiquitous. But I suppose you have to begin with the Koch brothers, right? They financed through Dick Armey and Karl Rove much of the Tea Party, and who swept into power in 2010. And particularly in state legislatures where they picked up the legislatures and the governorships. And that's when ALEC, who'd been around for a while, really hit the ground running, I take it.
Yeah. ALEC has actually been around since 1973. It was formed by Paul Weyrich, who also founded the Heritage Foundation the same year and went on to found the Free Congress. And, you know, people have been sounding the alarm about ALEC for about 10 or 15 years, but it's really only in this past year when we released over 800 of the previously secret model bills that you were really able to put the pieces together, that you were really able to identify just the extent and breadth of ALEC's influence on our politics. And like you said, there were a lot of state legislators who were ALEC members who were, you know, kind of on the back bench. And who didn't have the majorities in the state houses to really put the ALEC corporate agenda forward. And in 2010, they did. They swept the state houses, and all of a sudden you saw the introduction of almost identical legislation in a variety of states. You saw around 34 states introduce voter ID, which was modeled after the ALEC modeled off of the ALEC model voter ID bill. You saw the introduction of anti-union legislation in Wisconsin, in Indiana, in New Hampshire, in Ohio, most recently in Arizona. You saw the introduction of anti-environmental legislation and so on. And we really started to see the extent of the ALEC influence. And then something that happened starting in 2005 was the introduction of the Stand Your Ground laws. And that's really pushed ALEC to the forefront in the past few weeks.
But I'm right, am I not, Brendan Fisher, in suggesting that the Koch brothers have played a pivotal role here. They're on the board of ALEC. They funded it through its lean times. As you say, it's been going since the 70s. But they also funded the Tea Party, and particularly Dick Armey and Karl Rove, who I think in many ways helped organize this sweep in 2010 in the legislatures. So there is a kind of thread here. Once they got the political power, these model bills were just languishing in the desks, right, ready to go. And out they came, and they've changed the country.
Mm-hmm. Sure. The Kochs have been involved in ALEC for at least the early 1990s. They gave a $500,000 loan to ALEC when it was having financial troubles, and they have sat on the ALEC Private Enterprise Board, the board that you know, really helps elevate the corporate agenda. And there's a number of ALEC bills that really advance the both the ideological and the business interests of Koch Industries and the Koch brothers. So there's the anti-union legislation. There's a number of different ALEC bills that would make it harder to sue corporations when they injure or kill. And, you know, the Koch brothers have been involved in a variety of tort lawsuits when their pipelines have exploded. And they've been on the hook for millions of dollars. And one of the things that the ALEC model bills do is make it harder to hold corporations accountable when they injure or kill. The ALEC bills also promote an anti-environmental agenda, and you know, Koch Industries is a major polluter, both with their oil industries and also with you know, paper industries and paper production. They're a major polluter, and it's easier for them to do business, and it's easier for them to make more money if there's fewer environmental regulations. And ALEC is one way that they can really push that agenda.
It'd be useful, I think, Brendan Fisher, if you could just tell us exactly what ALEC does.
So ALEC, we like to call ALEC the corporate bill mill. What they do is they bring state legislators together with corporations and special interests like the National Rifle Association, and essentially they allow these corporations and special interests to hand the legislators changes to the state laws that they desire. Corporations and legislators have equal voting rights in ALEC. Corporations can propose a model bill, and, you know, for the most part, from what we've seen, is it usually just gets rubber stamped as and adopted as an ALEC model, which can then be distributed and passed in state houses across the country. So I think one really important thing to know about ALEC when you think about ALEC is they're not a traditional think tank. They're not like a Heritage Foundation or one of these types of right-wing groups. What they really are is a conduit for the corporate agenda. They give corporations unprecedented and unrivaled access to state legislators, both with the introduction of model bills, but then also ALEC legislators can attend ALEC conferences with their expenses paid for by the corporate members. They call them scholarships, but they reimburse legislators for their travel, for their hotel expenses, for their meals, and they've been able to narrowly evade a lot of state ethics and lobbying laws with what are essentially gifts by calling them a scholarship. So it's really layer of influence on top of layer of influence, and it's really amazing that it's lasted this long and people really just haven't paid much attention.
So what was their interest then, ALEC's interest and the backers of ALEC's interest in the Stand Your Ground law? Because that was pushed by the NRA, and I take it the NRA and ALEC worked together. But none of these, I think like 32, 34 states have adopted this Stand Your Ground law that's blown up in our faces in Florida. I mean, no state legislature, nobody, no citizens in Florida or any of these other states were beating the drum or picketing or demonstrating in favor of this law. It just suddenly came out of nowhere, you know, freshly minted, and boom, it's in 32 states. Why? What was the point? So what's ALEC's agenda here?
Sure. Well, this is a pretty good case study in how ALEC works. And like I said, it's really, you know, it's really a conduit for corporations and ideological special interests to push their agenda. So in Florida, the NRA essentially drafted the bill. From the evidence we've seen, it appears that they at least conceived of the bill, possibly also drafted the bill. And through their lobbying and political influence, they were able to get legislators to introduce it, and it passed. And then months after it passed, the NRA brought the Florida bill to the American Legislative Exchange Council and proposed it as a model bill. And it was unanimously approved, and then once it became an ALEC model bill, it was pushed out into the state legislatures. What we like to say is that once a bill becomes an ALEC model, then it becomes supercharged. Then you have more and more legislators knowing about it. You have the bill backed up by corporate dollars or by special interest dollars, by the incentive of campaign contributions, by the lobbying weight of the corporations or special interests that have an interest in the bill. But that's essentially what happened, that the NRA came up with the bill, they got it introduced in Florida, they brought it to ALEC, it became an ALEC model, and then it spread across the country.
But I understand why, for example, the anti-environmental laws are passed, pushed by the Koch brothers and others who have interest in oil and oil pipelines, etc., and who are constantly running afoul of environmental laws. I understand the logic of that. I understand the voter suppression laws that ALEC are pushing throughout all of the state legislatures in order to get Republicans elected, because they obviously more comfortable doing business with Republicans. That all makes sense. But why this Stand Your Ground law? Who's making money out of that?
Well, I think I think there's a number of possible ways that people could make money, but it fits the agenda of the NRA, this extreme interpretation of the Second Amendment, and they really are trying to push this idea that everyone should be armed, and that you should use, that your first resort should be to use a gun, that you should shoot first, and maybe ask questions later, maybe not ask questions later. And it seems like with the shooting of Trayvon Martin, it's really a shoot first, don't ask any questions at all. But there are also members of ALEC that do sell guns. Walmart is the largest seller of guns in the nation. They actually chaired the Criminal Justice Task Force that approved the NRA bill as a model. And the NRA is closely associated with the gun industry, and they make more money when they sell more guns.
So you mentioned Walmart selling a lot of guns. I understand that a lot of big American corporations back ALEC, the AT&T, Walmart, UPS. Can you name some of them?
Sure. If they're a large global corporation, there's a pretty good chance that they've been associated with ALEC. On the private enterprise board, in the past few years, the corporations that have been members have been Kraft Foods, the maker of Kraft macaroni and cheese, Coca-Cola, Walmart, State Farm Insurance, Intel, the computer chip manufacturer, UPS, like you said, Diageo, which is a global consolidated liquor company that produces brands like Johnny Walker, Tanqueray, Smirnoff, Guinness, Verizon, a number of pharmaceutical companies, including Bayer and GlaxoSmithKline, as well as the pharmaceutical company Lobby Pharma. And Pharma also gave $350,000 in 2010 to ALEC's scholarship fund that pays for legislators to travel to ALEC conferences. I think we've been initiating a campaign to ask these corporations to stop funding ALEC, to stop being a member of ALEC. Their response has generally been that for something like the Castle Doctrine law or the Stand Your Ground law in Florida, that maybe they weren't on the task force that actually voted to approve the law, but just by virtue of their membership, they're paying tens of thousands of dollars to be an ALEC member, and that funding is what makes these laws possible. It's what makes the spread of these laws. It's what makes the spread of these laws possible. And without that funding, these laws would not be spreading across the country.
So I'm just trying to get to understand this, because I would have thought that you have thousands and up to millions of people now starting to demonstrate pretty much on a daily basis around the country against the Stand Your Ground law. And if they were to know that these big corporations like Coca-Cola, that presumably most of them drink Coca-Cola, were funding the very people who are propagating and proliferating these laws, these regressive laws, then maybe they would join a consumer boycott. So how, you said you've approached, your organization has approached Coca-Cola and UPS and these big corporations about their association, and they say they weren't on the task force. Is that their excuse?
That tends to be their excuse. Coke Industries has just released a letter today basically saying that we weren't on the task force that approved this bill, so therefore we bear no responsibility. But that's just misleading, because for one thing, they were on the board that provides some guidance to the overall ALEC organization. But also, more importantly than anything else, they were funding the group, and that their funding makes it possible for these laws to become a model and for them to spread across the country.
So again, I'm speaking with Brendan Fisher, who's a law fellow with the Center for Media and Democracy, who have recently made public a data dump from the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, detailing over 800 model bills that have been used for regressive legislation, such as the Stand Your Ground law. You may find them at alecexpose.org. So what about the idea of a consumer boycott? I've often wondered why liberals and progressives who are appalled at the malignant influence of the Koch brothers in our politics, and clearly with the evidence from Citizens United, you could make a case that we are becoming less and less of a democracy and more of an oligarchy every day, given that a few handful of billionaires are deciding our political fate in this election. What about the idea that people who don't like the Cokes don't have to buy Dixie cups, Georgia-Pacific products, Brawny paper towels, and a number of other products. Now, could that be extended to these other corporations that fund ALEC? Because they've got what they've wanted using ALEC through these legislatures. They've got their payoff, often at the expense of the American consumer and the American citizen. Is there any evidence that the American citizen is going to strike back?
Sure. Well, I think that's something that's possible in the future. I think at the moment we're trying to elevate and make people aware of some of these associations with ALEC, some of these corporations' association with ALEC. State Farm Insurance goes out of its way to try and foster a friendly image, to say that they're a good neighbor. Coca-Cola tends to inspire nostalgia when you think of it. You don't tend to think of racial profiling. You don't tend to think of discriminatory voter ID laws. You don't tend to think of deregulatory environmental laws. So I think building up these associations is one important step, because a lot of times what ALEC is doing is contrary to the brand image. A boycott could be a next step. It's not something that we're calling for at the moment. The group Color of Change, they're the African American online community organization that successfully led the boycott against Glenn Beck's advertisers. They've initiated a campaign where they're working behind the scenes with these corporations and asking them to disassociate themselves from ALEC, essentially saying that you can't come to our community 364 days of the year and ask for our money and then turn around on the 365th day and take away our vote through voter ID laws and other voter restrictions. So I think they're working behind the scenes, and then if the corporations refuse to comply, if they refuse to work with them, then a boycott could be the next step. But I think one piece of this is just really letting these corporations know that you're not happy about their association with ALEC. You're not happy about your consumer dollars essentially being used to fund some of these nefarious agenda items.
Well, just in closing, Brendan Fisher, there seems to have been a clever strategy here and somewhat under the radar of targeting state legislatures. And they've been around for a long time, as you mentioned, ALEC, and they've recently met with huge success since they've the same people who fund ALEC also funded the Tea Party and the election of a lot of these conservatives who've taken over state legislatures and state governorships. Is there any evidence that there's any similar strategic thinking on the progressive side in this country, or progressives continually reacting and quite often after the not you know the barn doors open and the horse is way down the paddock?
I think there's been some talk about trying to find a more progressive alternative to ALEC. I haven't seen anything just yet. One part of it is just that part of the reason that ALEC has been able to be so successful is because there's so many corporations that have so much money that are interested in making it successful. And, money rules a lot of things. And, I think that's going to be a little bit more difficult for progressives just because of the money issue.
Well, I remember some time back speaking with Lisa Graves, who runs your organization, the Center for Media and Democracy, and she was down in New Orleans covering an ALEC meeting. And you say that these corporations, these big blue chip corporations like ExxonMobil, AT&T, and Coca-Cola and UPS give scholarship money to the legislatures. But what she was describing were people living pretty high off the hog. These legislators were down staying in expensive hotels with expensive meals, and I'm sure they had their prayer breakfasts paid for or their prostitutes paid for, depending upon their predilections.
Yeah, and that's it's level of influence on top of level of influence, and it's funding legislators' trips to ALEC conferences. it's handing them model legislation that benefits their interests, and then after hours, it's corporate lobbyists taking out the legislators for drinks, maybe for more, paying for it all, and legislators have a great time, and they come home, they feel affectionate towards the corporations that paid their way, and then they introduce the ALEC model bill that tends to benefit that corporation's bottom line, and you know it's a tough nut to crack.
Well, Brendan Fisher, I thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Again, I've been speaking with Brendan Fisher, a law fellow with the Center for Media and Democracy, who have recently made public a data dump from the American Legislative Exchange Council, or ALEC, detailing over 800 model bills that have been used for regressive legislation such as the Stand Your Ground law. You may find them at alecexposedoneword.org. This has been Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters. I'd like to thank producer Graham Fitzgibbon. This program's available for podcasting at ianmasters.com, where you can also contact me. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another Background Briefing. Bye for now.